We're going to talk about the tourism season to come now, though. There's an interesting story in the front page of the Irish Examiner this morning about over how 1,200 asylum seekers will have to leave hotels by mid-April, leaving the state facing a significant shortfall in accommodation. Papers submitted for the Cabinet Committee on Ukraine today will state that priority needs to be given to accommodate women and children. Where will they be accommodated is the particular question, I suppose, and will it fall on tourism? Well, that subject was talked about at a Tourism Oireachtas Committee meeting held in Dáil Éireann yesterday, where stakeholders, including the Irish Hotels Federation, Fáilte Ireland and the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, spoke to politicians about the concern when it comes to housing refugees and the displacement of tourism beds, particularly in rural counties like Kerry. Ona Mara Walsh, Chief Executive of the Irish Tourism Indian Confederation, told tourism leaders, told politicians that tourism leaders in Ireland have called for a more balanced approach to housing refugees. They were giving evidence to an Irish parliamentary committee which heard that 32% of tourist beds outside Dublin are now being used for humanitarian accommodation. In Kerry, 37% of tourism beds won't be available for tourists. Shortly before coming on air, I spoke to Ona Mara Walsh, and I first of all asked him what his major concerns were for the tourism season to come.
We were invited into the Oireachtas committee yesterday alongside colleagues from the Hotels Federation and the Department of Tourism and Fáilte Ireland. And it was really to discuss the sort of challenges facing the tourism accommodation sector. And I suppose the challenges are twofold. The first everyone knows about, which is the cost of business. So every hotel at the moment is wrestling with a doubling, tripling of energy bills and so on. And that's putting an awful lot of pressure on bottom lines and ultimately pressure on the price that the consumer has to pay. The other big aspect, though, of course, is the impact of all the government contracts for Ukrainian refugees and asylum seekers and what that's doing to supply. So effectively 32% of all tourism beds, whether they be hotels or guest houses or B&Bs, but all tourism beds in regional Ireland are now contracted to the government, so are no longer available for the tourism economy. And that does pose a significant concern for us because, you know, if you think it through, if there are no tourism beds for tourists, there'll be very little tourism activity in particular towns and villages throughout Ireland. So it's a big issue. There's no magic wand. We all know we have to be very generous and warm to refugees coming here fleeing wars. But our view is that the government cannot be over-reliant on the tourism sector. We'll play our part, but we can't be the primary accommodation provider.
And is that the major issue here? I mean, we're 1 year in to the situation now. The idea would be, both for the people themselves and for, I suppose, the tourism industry, that less of them would be relying on hotel-style accommodation for their permanent living rather than, let's say, other government-assigned accommodation providers.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're a year in, as you say, and unfortunately the percentage of the tourism beds that are being taken up is creeping up month by month. So at the moment, as I say, a third of all beds, if you look at County Kerry, I think it's about 37% of all tourism beds are no longer available to the tourism economy. And you can live with that during the sort of quiet winter months. But if that number stays that high or gets higher again over the busy summer months, then you're going to have a demand and supply problem. You're going to have a lack of availability for tourists. And that does have unintended economic consequences. So we've called for quite some time now for a comprehensive plan from government as to where refugees and asylum seekers are to be housed. Because, as I said a moment ago, the tourism sector will do its bit by all means, but you know, we've got to, if you like, return to our bread and butter, and only a certain number of rooms should be contracted to the government for humanitarian reasons, and hotels and guest houses and B&Bs should be allowed to get back to their regular day job, because that's vital for regional Ireland.
Owen, are we seeing a predominance of these hotel options being along the Wild Atlantic Way, including in Kerry, as you mentioned?
That's right. You know, in Donegal it's over 50%. County Clare, you know, the Cliffs of Moher and stuff, it's 40%. Kerry, you know, the home of Irish tourism, it's 36-37%. I don't have the figure to hand.
Sure.
So these are very high numbers. And, you know, if you look at part of the Midlands, it's very high as well. I think Longford is 60%. Leitrim is over 80%. So there's a, if you like, it's not spread evenly as well, which is another big issue. But I suppose the concern is that, you know, the Taoiseach has said that there'll be another 50,000 or so Ukrainian refugees expected this year. And, you know, as I say, it's right that Ireland has a strong humanitarian response to this crisis, but where will they stay? And the tourism sector cannot be the sole or the primary provider, because that has massive economic consequences for Ireland. We were at the Oireachtas Committee hearing yesterday, estimate that there'll be a €1.1 billion loss to the tourism economy as a result of all the displaced tourism beds. Mm. So that's a huge economic blow to a sector that's really only still recovering from COVID. We're nowhere near back to pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah, and we're seeing from the Restaurant Association of Ireland a survey conducted of their members, 45% of them are open to reducing opening hours, 36% will reduce their headcount, 30% will reduce menu options, 80% will need to increase prices just based on the cost of living. They're one of the downstream beneficiaries of numbers of tourists coming into an area, and if that's constricted on that side, it kind of spells more trouble, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, again, Fáilte Ireland have a very good data on this. They estimate that for every euro a tourist spends on accommodation, €2.50 is spent on ancillary tourism services. So whether that's a meal in a restaurant, or it's a boat ride, or a tourist attraction, or a visit to the local pub, you know, the bulk of the money actually goes to downstream tourism businesses. And the ironic thing is that, you know, the government contracts with hoteliers and accommodation providers. It means the accommodation providers do get a check. They do get a payment for this, of course. So it's a commercial arrangement. So they get paid every month or every 3 months for the services they provide. But all the downstream tourism businesses, you know, the cultural experiences, the pubs, the restaurants, the inbound tour operators, the tourist attractions, they're the ones that will really suffer, because they, you know, as I mentioned, if there's no beds, or if there's a lack of beds in a particular tourism region along the Wild Atlantic Way, there'll obviously be less tourists, and therefore the footfall won't be there to sustain those downstream businesses.
And they're the reasons why many people come to a particular area, to experience those experiences in the setting that they want to go to.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at all the main reasons that tourists come to Ireland, you know, accommodation rarely features in there. You know, there's obviously some really quality, you know, five-star destinations and stuff that people come to Ireland for. But the majority of people come for the people, the scenery, the culture, the things to see and do. So there are all those downstream businesses that will be really impacted by the current level of government contracts with accommodation providers. And it's just, we've reached that kind of acute point, because we're literally, you know, St. Patrick's Day is over, Easter's around the corner, we're about to run into the busy tourism summer season, and just my fear is that the unintended consequence of the government's
reliance. On the industry.
Yeah, and it's over-reliance. Mm. So you know, and there are alternatives in terms of state institutions or vacant dwellings or unused buildings or, you know, modular homes. The government have talked about this forever, but we just haven't seen it expedited. And at the moment, the Department of Integration, which is the department tasked with housing refugees and asylum seekers, they just, their first, understandably in a way, their first reaction is, well, where can we get a safe bed and safe refuge for these people? And obviously they just go straight to the tourism accommodation sector. But as I say, if that continues, there's going to be problems down the track for the economy, for jobs, for livelihoods, and that's in nobody's interest.
And what sort of response did you get from the committee members yesterday?
Well, I think they were. You know, we've been talking about this since last November, because getting the figures from the Department of Integration and Children has been challenging. But we've got the figures; we're getting them now on a monthly basis, and they're unfortunately only going in one trajectory. So, you know, it was a great opportunity to sit across the way from TDs and senators, and very clearly say what the consequences of current policy is. As I say, we accept that this is an extremely difficult situation. It's only right and appropriate that we are looking after people who are fleeing war and fleeing persecution. But there just has to be a much more balanced approach, because otherwise, you know, I'll be back on the phone to you in the middle of July or something, and, you know, Killarney or Tralee or whatever, we'll be scratching our heads kind of going, well, the ice cream parlour, you know, is struggling, or the local pub isn't seeing the tourism trade and stuff, and the reason will be the beds aren't there for tourists. So this is a really big, serious thing. It's the biggest, most serious issue facing Irish tourism at the moment. And the other thing I'd say, Gerry, is that this is not a 2-3 month crisis. You know, even if the Ukraine war magically ended tomorrow, which we all hope it will, a lot of these people have no homes to go back to. So this is a 2-3 year situation,
yeah.
and that's why I think a much more robust comprehensive plan from government is needed, and we've called for some time that it should be managed and led out of the Department of Taoiseach rather than the Department of Integration, because, you know, this is so important for both for the welfare of refugees who, as you say, should not be holed up month after month after month in hotel bedrooms, but it's also for the welfare of Ireland's largest Indigenous industry and biggest regional employer, the tourism industry. It's that important.
Okay. Owen, listen, thanks for giving us your views on that this morning.
Thanks, Jerry.